And we're back. Appreciate everybody tuning in to the first episode. It's Wednesday of Masters Week. The tee times are set. The pairings are out. Majority of practice rounds have been played. And we're ready. We're ready to rock. Early morning coming tomorrow for the first tee time out. As we finished up episode one, I appreciate all of the feedback. Got some really good texts and emails about what you all would like to hear. I thought this was, or thought this would be a really good opportunity to actually dive into the course and give you all some specifics for some holes to look out for. I think there are really six holes in total that we could see a lot of birdies on, and six holes that we could see a lot of bogeys on or a lot of high scores. So let's start with the holes that we could potentially see some guys score well on. There's three on the front and three on the back. So we'll start with the front side. Hole number two. So hole two is a par five. Kind of a level tee shot, but as you get toward your second shot, it's going to dogleg pretty hard around the left-hand side. The green is protected by two bunkers, and so it's a tougher second shot. Most guys are going to lay up on the right-hand side of the fairway, give themselves a shorter chip shot to some easier pin locations in the first few days. Try to give them an up and down for birdie. Some guys will use kind of the natural run-up slope onto number two in between the bunkers that can funnel into certain pin locations depending on where it's going to be. That'll leave them an easy two-putt for a birdie. Again, you probably will see some eagles here in the past. We've seen some double eagles here on rare occasion. But number two is definitely going to be one to watch out for the entire round. Next up is actually going to be number three. So number three plays as a shorter, slightly uphill par four. Most guys hit driver short and left, and again, give themselves a potential easy up and down. You do not want to go over this green. Similar to number two, actually. If you go over two or three, you're going to have a tough up and in. Really, if you go to the right of number three as well, you're going to have a tough up and down. Really, the majority of the green slopes back towards the fairway. And so if you're over the green, you're going to have a tough time stopping the ball when you're trying to get up and in. The next hole on the front side that you're going to see a lot of birdies on would be eight. Par five. Similar to number two, it's statistically been an easier hole on the course. It plays somewhere around 550, 570 yards. So guys are going to have an opportunity to easily get to this green in two. What makes this one a little bit different is the second shot is pretty blind. The green has a lot of natural mounds around it. They actually kind of funnel toward the middle of the green, but it's going to be really hard to stop any second shot that's coming in because most of the time guys are going to be hitting either a really long iron or a wood into this green. I think, last year we saw Tiger just hit it long and not really care. There's not a lot of trouble back there if you go long. You will see a lot of guys lay out short and right. It offers the best angle into the green. So mostly because that hole is gettable because it's shorter. I really like all of the par fives at Augusta. You won't see very many holes, or there are really no par fives that are extremely long and make it tough. So let's talk about some holes on the front side that we could see a lot of guys struggle on. And it really kicks us off on number one. It's a pretty unassuming hole, a slight dogleg to the right. And I've often thought that this hole may be more difficult than it should be just based on the fact that it's the first hole and there's some natural first tee jitters maybe. But statistically, it's been the sixth hardest hole at Augusta National since the Masters started. Because it's a dog leg to the right, you'll find a lot of guys go long and left and end up in the rough, and the trees are going to make it difficult to get a second shot close. If you don't hit a second shot well, this is a tough green. There's a lot of slope to it and a lot of putts that you won't see a ton of break in that break more than you would imagine. And so we'll see a lot of three putts on one, which makes number two even more important, and number three to get some shots back. As we keep moving across the front nine, hole four is an absolute beast. Par three, 240 yards. A lot of pins will be kind of in the middle to back right. The green works itself from the front to the back, from left to right, over and around a bunker. And so if you're short, if you try to go towards the pin, you're going to be in the bunker. A lot of guys you'll see are going to hit the big part of the green in the front left, which is going to create a really, really tough two putt. Statistically, you're looking at the third hardest hole at Augusta since the start of the Masters. So again, one and four, both going to play really tough. And then five. Five is a tough par four, right under 500 yards. Really what makes this one difficult is the yardage in particular. You're going to see a lot of guys that are going to have, you know, 180 to 200 yards in for their second shot. It is a slight dog left, a dog leg left. And so if you try to cut off the bunkers, it's going to be somewhere around a 300 yard carry. So you will see a lot of guys kind of lay back to the right of that if they're not comfortable moving the ball from right to left or hitting that power fade. Those are really the three holes that are going to be tougher for guys on the front nine. So let's make the turn to the back nine, and this is really where it gets good. So holes 13, 15, and I'm going to throw in 16 and 18 here, which we'll talk about, but 13 and 15 are both par fives. 13, really short dog leg left, par five, 510 yards. This is the hole that apparently Bryson hasn't had more than maybe a 9-iron into for his second shot going into this green. You can, in theory, hit it over the trees. Most guys are going to move the ball from right to left to follow the dog leg. The fairway is pretty big as long as you can get it past the pine trees on the right. And we've seen a lot of players in those pine trees in the past. Honestly, a pretty easy second shot to just punch down the right-hand side of the fairway and leave yourself really inside of 100 into a green that slopes from the back to the front. There is a creek in front of this green, so you don't want to be short. You also definitely don't want to be long. There are four bunkers behind this green. And with the green sloping from back to front so severely, again, it's going to be really tough to stop any shot. But the green's pretty big and large. You'll see a lot of guys hit kind of middle left that'll give them a really good opportunity for a two-putt birdie or even a potential eagle here. 15 is pretty similar in the sense that it's a par 5, 530 yards, really not that much longer. The second shot plays mostly downhill, and the fairway is pretty open. You've got a row of pine trees on your right. You've got a couple pine trees on your left that like have some branches that could potentially be issues, but most of the time you're going to see guys go for this green in two as well. Really the trouble here is long. You will see a lot of shots long here, and it is tough to get up and down. There is water in front of this green as well, and so you'll see that, you know, the tendency is to go long here, but it does create for a tough up and in. This is historically the easiest hole on the golf course, number 15. So you will see a lot of birdies down the stretch on this hole. throughout every round. 16 and 18, so really exciting holes coming down the stretch. You know, 16 is the famous par 3. Of course, Tiger's incredible chip shot from a few years back to get into a playoff and beat Chris DeMarco. This pin on Sunday provides for a lot of excitement. Really, if you hit the green in the middle, the ball's going to funnel down into a little bit of a bowl, into a pin that, again, you see a lot of hole-in-ones at this pin location. But this hole can also be troublesome. I mean, you can go long right, have a tough time getting it up and in. It's not an easy putt if you go long, even if you're only a few feet away from the hole location. I believe one of the pin locations on Thursday or Friday is top right, and it's really tough for guys to get it back there without going over, which you don't want to do. So this is, a hole that I think is going to play both ways a little bit. Number 18, I'm going to say, is a very similar type hole. Kind of like number one, where we see maybe some nerves down the stretch of some guys not playing it very well. The tee shot's a little bit intimidating, especially as you're watching on TV. It looks really narrow, but it opens up really wide into a big fairway. You've got a bunker on the left in the fairway that a lot of guys will get into. But most of the time, you'll see a pretty standard second shot into this green, especially on Sunday. You'll have that Sunday pin location where guys can hit the middle of the green and bring the ball back down towards the hole. It does have a really sharp false front, and so if you're short here, that ball will run all the way back off of the green. So again, for the back nine holes that are gettable, we're looking at 13 and 15 in particular. 16 and 18, depending on the pin location, can be gettable as well. So the final stretch here. So we'll cover the three holes on the back nine that are going to be really tough. So we're looking at holes 10, 11, and 12. Hole 10, I think famously we've seen a couple winners here on this hole in playoffs in recent memory. We've had Adam Scott, we've had Bubba Watson out of the trees on this hole as well. This hole is long, par 4, 500 yards. The green is extremely tough here. Really demanding second shot, and no matter what, you're going to have a tough par on this hole. Statistically, this is the toughest hole on the golf course, and was actually the first hole on this course until 1935 when the routing was changed. The next two holes are actually the start of Amen Corner, so because of that, I feel like hole 10 is kind of forgotten about sometimes, but hole 11, an extremely tough hole. You're looking at really a mostly demanding second shot. The tee shot is decently open, but the second shot, you have a green that is well protected with water, really on 50% of the left-hand side as well as some of the front. You'll see a lot of bailouts to the right here that really create some tough up and downs. So hole 11, won't be surprised if we see a lot of bogeys. We've seen a lot of balls in the water here in the past as well. And then this gets us to hole 12, which is famous par 3 over Rays Creek. Not a really long hole, but this is really the hole that you could argue won Tiger this golf tournament last year. With, you know, Molinari going in the water, I believe Finau went in the water as well. There were a couple guys that really had a good shot last year and dunked it in the water here. And the reason being is you really don't want to be long. I think that's really reason number one. But I think, you know, last year you saw Tiger play it out to the left and really just take his chances with a long two putt. You don't see that often in his scenario. I think you're thinking like, okay, if I get out of here with a par or at least a bogey, I'm actually going to gain shots. But this is definitely a hole that could, you know, if you birdie, you're going to gain at least a shot on the majority of the field, if not sometimes a shot and a half, because of the average. But those are really the three holes that you'll see that are going to cause guys some trouble. 10, 11, 12. It's exciting that it starts off the back as well before you have some gettable holes on the way home. So on our previous episode, we ran through a lot of the favorites and a lot of different betting options. Let's boil those down. So I have my top three picks to win. And we also have a couple guest entries as well. My good friends Caleb Knox and Joe Rollins have their picks that they would like to throw out there. So my picks to win, I have two favorites and then I've got a little bit of a dark horse. For my picks, I'm going to go with John Rahm, top 10s in both previous 2 years, you know, of the 10 major stats that the PGA Tour keeps up with. He's top 20 in five of those categories. Just an absolute machine, so I'm excited to watch him play this year. My second pick, I'm going with Xander. Obviously finished second last year with one shot back. I think he's finished top five in two of his three events this year. He's always up there. So, again, I think Xander has a really good shot. A little bit of a dark horse for me is going to be Abraham Answer. His first Masters appearance, he is top 40 in putting and strokes gained on the approaches into the green this season. He's just a really consistent ball striker. He's not very long, but you don't have to be on this course. So we'll see what Abe has to offer this year. For Caleb, Caleb is going to go with Brooks, Rory, and Matt Wolf. Those are some exciting picks there. I would love to see Rory do it. He's been so close so many times. So to finish off the Rory Slam would be a ton of fun to see. And then Joe. Joe's going to go with Rory, John Rahm, and Tommy Fleetwood. Also really fantastic picks. You know, Fleetwood off the heels of a few good major finishes. And then, of course, Rory and John Rahm kind of mirroring mine and Caleb's picks as well. So we're overlapping there a little bit. We'll see who's right come Sunday night. So we threw out a bunch of bets on the last episode. I'm going to run through my top three. So my top three bets are Adam Scott to be top 10 after the first round. Not only does he have a history of playing well at Augusta, but he's finished top 10. He finished top 10 after round one last year, and he also finished top 10 last week in Houston. I think he's playing well. I think he's got some Augusta magic. I'm also going to go with Kevin Kisner, top 40. He's been top 40 in three of the last 4 years, and very similar, I'll go with Matt Kuchar to finish top 20. Also has been top 20 in three of the last 4 years. So those are my top three bets. I use DraftKings for golf. I think I mentioned that. They have a lot of different options, but I know sportsbooks like FanDuel and MGM offer similar. So happy betting. Again, appreciate you all tuning in to the High Handicappers Club, Episode 2. A special shout out to my good friend Colin Cooper for the music during this episode. And you can check out his entire catalog on SoundCloud under Colin Cooper and his newer stuff under Austin and Colin on Spotify.